there's been a lot of butting of heads, I think, between government and industry over the last couple of years. Have things settled down a little bit?
Things will never settle down. It's a never-ending process, and what's been helpful, I think, is even where we've disagreed, the headbutting has seemed to have calmed down, and the openness to discussion and conversation. A lot of what's come out of OMB, not everything, but a lot of it's been pretty smart down the middle. I think that they've been very open to ideas, but it's a never-ending process, and I don't see it slowing down at any time in the near future.
Now, there's one issue I wanted to ask you about in particular, and value buying has been emphasized for a number of years now, probably 15 years now, the best value versus lowest price. Given the budget constraints, and they're real, that we're under now, and they're probably going to get worse, especially if we go to sequestration, is there still value buying, or is it all just price now?
Unfortunately, it's almost all price. I mean, it's even predates the most recent budget crisis. The last couple of years, we've seen, by and large, a complete disappearance of cost technical trade-offs of any meaningful level, even very complex requirements being bought on a low price, technically acceptable level. And it's of deep concern. There's some growing concern in the leadership. We hear it from some of the acquisition and other management leadership in the agencies. It's a huge concern in industry because when you're in a resource-constrained environment, the last thing you want to do is incentivize bad proposals and bad acquisition decisions. But the tendency on the government side, naturally, is to try to get every dollar they can out of every dollar they can. So that kind of drives you to this dollar-based decision. But if you're in a company, you have to win business. And so how do I get credit for the discriminators I bring to the table? How do I actually bring innovation to the table? And it's a conflict. So what you want to do on the government side more than ever is you want to have a flight to quality, not a flight to price when resources are constrained, so you actually get the most value out of every dollar you spend. But nonetheless, we see, I don't want to pick on individual agencies, but you have the Navy engine contract, a $10 or $12 billion contract coming out low price, technically acceptable, yet they're also saying they want innovation and technology refresh. That the two don't go together. I mean, mm-hmm. Low price, technically acceptable is really for a kind of a commoditized approach. We see it at USAID. We see it elsewhere where it's become the norm, and companies spend an awful lot of time trying to figure out, how do I actually bring those discriminators and that high quality? Where's the money going to be to invest in innovation and in technology refresh and in workforce? So it's a huge problem, and I think it really disadvantages the government. That's not to say everything should be a cost-technical trade-off, but we're seeing very little of that. Somebody just told me a few minutes ago that one senior official said, well, it may seem like a problem, but, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at the cost technical trade-offs that have been done, 80% of the time they go to the low price anyway. So what's the big deal? My answer is, hey, what happens to the other 20%? And that's a smaller number than it probably should be for complex requirements. And B, what kinds of cost technical trade-offs are you doing, and what are the biases in the system? So the resource constraints clearly exacerbate this, and it's a huge issue. And I think it's a big problem both sides.
Now, one of the things that contractors can do to at least help mitigate that is cut their own costs. But you're in the services business where it's all people, for the most part, people and skills, not so much products. Is there anything that you're finding your members are doing to try to reduce their costs where they can to be able to meet what the government is actually buying in terms of pricing?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the companies have to be cutting their costs. They have to look at every opportunity they can to keep costs down. The customer needs them to do that, and they need it to be competitive. And all the companies we talk to are really looking hard at their overhead. They're looking hard at everything they do to try to keep their competitive costs down. But at the same time, a lot of the cost is going to be driven by the nature of the requirement. And if I expect certain capabilities, there are realities to what those capabilities cost. And so if workforce costs are higher than the government would like or I would like, that's really not my control because the marketplace has determined that workforce to be a certain value. So, yes, clearly companies are, and they tell us all the time, they are really pushing down on their overhead. But there's another impact to that. Remember, that decreases the money that's available for investment. It decreases the money that's available for R&D. I mean, so there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle.
And it also pushes down probably the quality of people that the contractors can hire to put on those jobs.
Well, you know, if the government says, you know, we want people with 10 years of experience and 12 years of experience, and yet you go out on the marketplace and a 10 or 12-year experienced, really top-flight computer programmer or software engineer has a certain value, you either get that person, and then you could be the government saying, oh, we're not going to pay that much. Or so you get into these conflicts. So, yeah, it's a very tough situation. I think that part of the answer is to really refocus on something we've talked about for years, which is a much more performance-based approach, and say, give me your best solution and your best people, and we're going to really put teams together that have the ability to evaluate beyond just cost.
We're speaking with Stan Soloway, the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. Now, we have a big change coming in federal procurement with Dan Gordon leaving OFPP, Office of Federal Procurement Policy. And the word on the street is he has really been oil on the waters. in terms of listening to both sides and coming to conclusions and policies and new regulations that seem to bring the best of what people hope for. What's your assessment as he departs?
I think that's a great assessment. I think Dan has been a terrific administrator. And as you said, policy and action and everything else aside, and there's been plenty of it, some of it very good, I think the biggest impact he's had is his strong passion about you've got to be able to communicate, you've got to be able to collaborate, and he has walked the walk. And so every policy decision, everything that's coming out, he's really looked to all communities, all sides of the issue, to give him input very openly. And I think he not only takes the input, but then he will respond and get into a discussion. So it's a big loss for the community, I think, that he's been a terrific OFPP administrator.
And one of his big initiatives has been Mythbusters, to get industry and government talking again, because as he reminded us through Mythbusters, it is legal, it can be done ethically, it's in the FAR. Has that taken root as far as you can tell yet, or too early?
Well, let me clarify something. It's not only legal, it's absolutely essential. You can't have an effective collaborative relationship between customer and supplier if you don't have open, clear communication, and I think that's part of his point. The second part of that, though, is I think Dan himself would say that he's been very frustrated and disappointed at the amount of pushback he's getting in the field, that people believe they shouldn't be, cannot be, and don't want to be talking to their suppliers. And I'm hoping whoever comes in behind him will really continue to press that. I mean, the leadership is, in most cases, is talking the talk, but it's not yet permeated the field, and we have a long way to go to get that where it needs to be.